Welcome to the Epiphany of Our Lord Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota. January 6, 2024, this is Pastor Olana. We began our service in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truths and teach us, for your God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. Let us confess our sins. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right and a spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Since we confessed our sins, now hear the absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us, and through Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith installed in us by the Holy Spirit, we know, and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ, that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for His salvation. With healing balm our souls He fills, and every faithless murmur still.
Our text for the Epiphany of our Lord, the first one is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 1 through 6. And the epistle is taken from the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. And our gospel reading is Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 1 through 14. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, who know you by faith, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God and now forever. Amen.
A blessed day to you. This is a Bible study of the epistle lesson for Epiphany. But first we begin with prayer. O God, we thank you for revealing your love for us through your word, and also through the action of giving us your Son as a Savior. We thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit, who gives us faith to accept your love through our Savior Jesus Christ. Keep us strong in our faith. Increase our love for you. Increase our love for our neighbor. And keep us steadfast during this new year. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Most people recognize the well-known church festivals such as Christmas and Easter. Few people, even some Christians, know about or celebrate the second oldest festival of the church, or Epiphany. Epiphany is not well-known, but it is well-known and celebrated by that branch of the Christian church known as the Orthodox Church. It's a festival that falls on January 6th, which is 12 days after Christmas. Thus, it is also referred to as Twelfth Night and is related to the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. How much do you know about Epiphany and what it encourages you to do in your Christian life? Let's listen as we read the epistle lesson for Epiphany today, which is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. Paul's talking about in chapter 2 of Ephesians. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the Gospels, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Thus far the reading. Epiphany means to make manifest, that is, to make known something that was previously obscure or a mystery made known by God, revealed by Christ coming into the world, is that the salvation worked out by God through Jesus Christ is for all people, not just the members of God's old covenant people, Israel. Salvation is for all people, Jew and Gentile. This was revealed to the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit, as it was to all God's holy apostles and prophets. Paul then adds, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The results are, for those who believe this good news and come to faith in Jesus Christ, that in him, that is, in Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. As Americans, we love our freedom. As sinful and imperfect people, we abuse our freedoms. We take advantage of freedom to do what we want and not what God wants. In fact, being imperfect humans, we may confuse our true freedoms with the freedoms of an untamed life. We get caught up in our sinfulness and sins. And so we need a Savior, someone who can show us the way to true freedom, the way from the abuse of freedom recommended by the devil, by Satan and his evil angels. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who Jesus is and what he accomplished was according to the eternal purpose of God. Paul reminds us that the ingathering of all people was part of the eternal purpose of God, That is something which we would do well to remember. Paul here reminds us that the salvation of the Gentiles is not an afterthought of God. The bringing of all people into his love was part of God's eternal design, and that design was the result of the grace of God. The apostle describes the grace of God by showing what God's grace accomplishes. The idea is that the grace of God will match any situation which my life may bring to us. There's nothing of light or of dark, of sunshine or shadow, for which it is not triumphantly adequate. Whether it is during good times or bad, God's grace meets every situation for us. Paul then comes to his favorite thoughts, one which we spoke about earlier. In Jesus, we have a free approach to God. It sometimes happens that a friend of ours knows some very distinguished person. We ourselves would never have any right to enter into that person's presence. But in our friend's company, we have the right of entry. That's what Jesus does for us with God. In his presence, in Jesus' presence, there is an open door to God's presence. Or as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, that when we come to the Father and we come through Jesus' name, we have access to the Father and we can expect that he not only hears us, but answers our prayers. What we have been reading and studying is probably a prayer by Paul himself for his Gentile readers. Gentile readers, that includes us. He prays that we may comprehend the full measure of the blessings bestowed upon us, that we may know fully the incomprehensible love of the Christ who has redeemed us and may thus be filled with all the fullness of God who has blessed us. In a long parenthesis, Paul dwells on the grace bestowed on him as an apostle to the Gentiles and the high privilege of proclaiming to them their inclusion in the new people of God now realized in Christ Jesus. This grace gloriously transfigures the suffering which his apostolic task entails. And the prayer concludes with a doxology to the God who is greater than our thoughts of him and our prayers to him. So Paul uses the phrase, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus," in verses 20 and 21. So let's close our Bible study with our prayer for God's grace. All glory is yours, blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for being the gracious God you are, and for exercising that grace by saving us eternally through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have enlightened our hearts with your truth. Grant us your Spirit and the power to do whatever pleases your gracious will for us, but also grant us your Spirit to avoid that which displeases you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
Let us close our service for this morning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
The fruits of your salvation in our hearts.